Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guest house overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundation@hearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission.
My wife and I were in Belfast in conjunction with the April 10th, 1998 Good Friday Agreement. It was a momentous time in Northern Ireland. The Ulster Unionist Party had agreed to work with the Republicans, but it was by no means the end of the Troubles. Random sectarian killings and firebombings continued, but a sense of peace, hope, and evolution was palpable throughout Ireland. The Royal Irish Constabulary, RUC, Northern Ireland's policing agency, was perceived by many to be staunchly anti-Catholic and anti-nationalistic. Their actions, both overt and covert, lent painful credence to the sentiment. At the time, more than 93% of the police force were members of the Protestant faith. The taint ran so deep that eventually the RUC was dissolved and replaced on November 4, 2001, by a more balanced organization that remains today, the Police Service of Northern Ireland. One of my goals while exploring Northern Ireland back in 1998 was to get inside the RUC. I wanted a face-to-face with the officers to see for myself just how the sectarian bias and hatred had affected the policemen. An opportunity arose while traveling through a historic hotbed of sectarian strife, County Armagh, the location of the annual marching season. I was confident I could talk myself past the blast-proof concertina wire-capped 20-foot-tall perimeter walls of a regional RUC station in Craigavon for a chat with the officer in charge. Craigavon is in the heart of the sectarian neighborhoods that experienced the brunt of the annual marching season, when orange men paraded through Catholic neighborhoods beating on humongous lambeg drums. The ancient drums, prideful symbols of the Unionists and the Orange Order, were religiously used in street parades, most notably the 12th of July parade, known as the 12th. We approached the RUC's Craigavon Station street side entry and found a bulletproof window with speaking slits, reminiscent of a theater ticket booth. I slipped my press credential through a slot and asked the sentry if it might be possible to visit with the station's officer in charge. He picked up the phone and a minute later pointed to the mammoth steel entry gate. A buzzer rang and the mammoth steel gate clanked slowly open as the officer instructed us to head across the parking lot to the station. The station, about 30 feet away on the far side of a parking lot, was actually a windowless concrete bunker with a steel blast-proof door that automatically swung open as we approached. Ushered inside the pillbox, an officer led us down a narrow, dimly lit hallway and knocked and opened an office door and introduced us to Sergeant Mike O'Donnell, who smiled with a twinkle in his eye as he rose from his desk and asked, "And who might you be?" I introduced myself, and he asked where we were from. We instantly got on great, and it wasn't long before he opened up and, to my utter surprise, eventually shared some of the RUC's intelligence about upcoming confrontations planned by the Unionists in his precinct. We talked nonstop for an hour or so, and as we rose to say goodbye, he looked me straight in the eye and said, "I thought you might like to know, Tom, that I'm Catholic." I was stunned, as I had arrived with the firm preconception that, of course, the station's highest-ranking officer would surely be a Protestant. It was our last day in Northern Ireland. We checked in at the Stacas Park Hotel in Temple Patrick, County Antrim, and packed for our early morning flight home. I was still digesting how we had managed to become such trusting friends with O'Donnell in such short order. so quickly that I was taken aback by the trust and confidence he had extended to me by sharing his intelligence reports. I remember asking myself, "Good God, I'm a journalist. How would he know I'm not a plant or a spy?" But the unspoken bonds of a trusting friendship had been confidently established, and we left with promises to keep in touch, which we did. When I went downstairs in the morning to check out, I still have the note from the hotel front desk that read, "Please call the RUC." I was freaked, as my first thought was that something awful had occurred, like my dad had died. I immediately called the RUC, and to my surprise, Sergeant Mike O'Donnell answered, "Top of the morning to you, Tom. We thought that possibly you and Beth might like to go out on patrols with us in the Land Rover today." I was stunned and flattered by the incredible offer, but I gave my regrets as we were just minutes from checking out and catching a cab for the Belfast airport. I told Mike, "I'm so sorry. We can't ride along today, but we'll definitely take a rain check for when we next visit." We said our farewells with promises to keep in touch, which we did for quite some time. We wrote periodically, and I will always remember his telephone call of concern to my home in California the morning of the New York City 9/11 terrorist attack. At the time, I was travel editor for Las Vegas Magazine and produced on-air travel shows for NPR affiliate KCBX in California, and I would periodically send copies of the magazine and cassette recordings of my travel shows to Mike. I asked Mike if he was receiving the packets I'd been sending, and he responded, "Oh, yes. Actually, my daughters think your radio shows are quite brilliant." Flattered, I asked, "What exactly do they enjoy the most about my shows?" "Oh, they absolutely delight in laughing at your accent, Tom." Mike had told me a bit about the downside of being a Catholic in a predominantly Protestant police force, and the inherent downside of living in a staunchly Catholic neighborhood where the IRA had a long history of planting bombs on doorsteps, kneecapping, and sometimes killing those they perceived as a threat or a traitor to the cause. Just being a Catholic in the RUC was ample reason to put one on a hit list. Mike had gone to great lengths to mask the fact that he was an RUC man when off duty, especially anywhere in the vicinity of his neighborhood. One time, as I prepared a packet for Mike and his teenage daughters, I copied, without thinking, his home address on the label instead of his police station address as I normally did, and included the header, "Attention, Sergeant Mike O'Donnell." It wasn't until I received a telephone call from Belfast a week after sending the packet that I was struck by the potent deadliness of my absence of thought. "Please, whenever you send packets or letters, never use my home address, and definitely never include my title. We think the postman is one of us, but we're not quite sure." Decades later, a shiver still runs down my spine every time I recall the horrific potential that could have transpired from the simple, thoughtless error of including a policeman's title when addressing a postal address label to someone in Northern Ireland, something one would just not think about in America. But it most definitely is something I should have thought of, knowing as much as I did about the social, political realities of life in Northern Ireland, going back in time to the Battle of the Boyne in July 1690. Time passed, and Mike took an early retirement on his 50th birthday, and I eventually, and most regretfully, eventually misplaced his phone number and home address. In 2012, I was invited by the Northern Ireland Tourist Board to attend the 100th anniversary of the launch of the Titanic at Belfast, Harland and Wolff shipyards. Preparatory to departing for Belfast, I contacted the woman who had arranged our visit to the North back in 1998. She was well connected with the most powerful and influential people in Northern Ireland, including the president. I asked her if she might be able to put the word out that I'd like to meet with my old friend, and could she assist with finding his contact information. A week later, she sent an email with regrets. "Yes, Tom, we found Mike. He's fine, But to protect the lives of former officers, we are forbidden by law from releasing any personal details of former RUC officers, especially telephone numbers or addresses. All we can tell you is that he is fine and in good health. And sadly, that was the last glimmer of my connection with Mike O'Donnell. As a postscript, obviously, the name of the sergeant was changed for obvious reasons.
Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by the Foundation at Hearst Castle, where donors and members experience exclusive events that recreate what it was like to be a guest of William Randolph Hearst, from swimming in the iconic Neptune Pool to dining in Hearst's private guesthouse overlooking the Pacific Ocean. The Foundation at Hearst Castle's ongoing mission is to support the conservation and restoration of Hearst Castle while offering youth programs for underserved students, preserving the past and inspiring future generations of dreamers. These children experience a world of science, technology, engineering, art, and math at Hearst Castle STEAM, along with studying the legacy of Julia Morgan, one of the most important women in the history of engineering and architecture. The Foundation at Hearst Castle not only changes the lives of children, but also provides lifetime memories and unrivaled experiences for our generous donors and members. Discover how you can become a member by going to foundationathearstcastle.com and learn how you can support this unique and invaluable mission. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York, and in fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.